We are blessed as a local church to have such depth of ministry from the heart in music and singing. It's an amazing thing what God has done in this church for many, many years to have such sincerity of worship and praise to Him. And it's not like we organize it. The Holy Spirit puts it together, and we praise God for that. Now, if you have your Bibles, open to Luke 14. Like I mentioned, this will be an introductory message. There's no way I'll be able to preach everything I'd like to preach today. I would like to share something about explaining the gospel that I've used over the years, which is kind of at the heart of what I'm going to be preaching on here for the next few weeks. There's two mountains, and one mountain is the man mountain, and the other mountain is the God mountain, and in between the two mountains there's a valley. The valley is the valley of death. The wages of sin is death. Every person in the world is born on the man mountain, and we're separated from God from conception. From my mother's womb, David wrote in the Psalms, we go astray. And so we're born on the man mountain, and there's a valley of death. No matter how hard any person in the world tries to get back to the God mountain, which in reality, we're not trying to get back to the God mountain. The Bible says we're not even moving that direction. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're not moving towards God in a natural man. We have a rebellious heart towards God. And so we're running the other way in reality. God has to run after us in grace and mercy and love and bring us back to Himself. But in terms of the illustration, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how sincere you are, or how religious you are, or how good of a person you are, or how much effort you make to keep the Ten Commandments or to be moral, nobody makes it to the God mountain by their own effort. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody ends up in Death Valley. Now, Death Valley is not just death in this life. There's a second death. There's an eternal death. There's an eternal separation from God. If we die without knowing Jesus Christ's salvation through the cross, the only way for man to be from the man mountain to the God mountain is God provided a Savior. He provided a Savior, His Son, who would die on the cross. And so the cross becomes the bridge. The cross is the only bridge. Anybody that's on the man mountain cannot go back and have a relationship with God in any way unless it's through the cross of Jesus Christ. Faith in the cross, finished, blood atonement work, resurrected life of Jesus Christ. The gospel is His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His exaltation, His being seated at the right hand of God, having finished the work of salvation. And if you believe on Him, the Bible says you're already seated with Him in the heavenly places. Amen? We're not waiting to get there. We're not waiting to get there to see if we make it or not. We're already seated with Him in the heavenly places. That's the gospel. Now, the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing. And when I talk about perishing, we're talking about not just perishing in this life. We're talking about perishing eternally. To die without Christ is to be eternally separated from God forever in torment. We're talking about perishing forever. We're talking about torment forever. The preaching of the cross to the unsaved, if we refuse to humble ourselves, refuse to be honest about our sinful condition, refuse to believe what the Bible says, what the truth is about who we are and what we are and our sinfulness against holy God, if we refuse to humble ourselves to believe on the Savior that a holy God has provided out of perfect love and mercy and grace, then we will perish in this life and we will perish forever. So the preaching of the cross to them that are perishing is foolishness. And the natural heart, the natural mind, does not begin to comprehend the cross. So I would like to make a suggestion here to all of us. As a matter of fact, I want to tie this in with the 2021 church calendar. I want to speak to believers and unbelievers here, especially if anybody listens to this by recording, as to have you ever honestly and sincerely, soberly and humbly given any time to think about the cross of Jesus Christ? I would admonish you to humble yourself before God and ask God to open your heart, open your mind, open your spirit. If God's Holy Spirit does not open our heart to the work of the cross, we won't see it. We won't understand it. In the book of Acts, it talks about God opened the heart of the lady that was a seller of purple. He opened her heart to the gospel. Every one of us needs God to open our heart to him. It's not within us in our natural man. It's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. We have to humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about is the truth. Otherwise, the cross, it's like throwing a life preserver to somebody drowning in the water. Yeah, they're going to be thankful you threw them a life preserver. They know they're drowning. But if somebody's out there swimming and having a good time and they don't think they're drowning, you throw a life preserver to them, they're going to see it as an intrusion. And so you got to see yourself drowning. You got to understand the reality that we're drowning in sin, drowning in the depravity, not just what we do, but who we are internally, in the very nature of our being. We don't become a sinner when we sin. We sin because we are sinners. A dog doesn't become a dog when he barks. He barks because he is a dog. We are sinners not just by action. We are sinners by nature. We have a nature inside of us that wants nothing to do with God. And only the Holy Spirit can pierce through that hardness and that callousness and open our heart to God. Open our heart to salvation. And it requires humility, honesty, and sincerity. What your conscience is saying to you. What creation is saying to you. What the scripture is saying to you. The Bible says only a fool would say no to God. Not just say there is no God, but no God is there and you are responsible to him. It's just a fool that would do that out of pride and ego, and self-righteousness. But if we humble ourselves, God will show mercy to us. Now, in terms of the calendar, that was all unbeliever-type explanation. But in terms of us as believers, I think it's good for us to hit the pause button and say, what exactly is my understanding of the cross of Jesus Christ? We all know about it. We've all heard about it. We've all talked about it. We all believe in the cross. But I'm talking about, does it make any difference in the trenches where you live? Coming to the cross is not just something you do initially. Coming to the cross is something you do continually. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There. A precious what? Precious fountain. If you lose sight of the cross, you will lose sight of everything else in life and never be able to see it properly. Now, this is why Paul said twice in his ministry, he said, I have determined to not know anything among you. He said, everything else is secondary. It has to come under this umbrella. If you're going to understand everything else, it's got to come under this umbrella. He said, I determined not to know anything among you. He said, here's the central factor, the central focus. This is where you start. This is where you get it right. If you don't understand the cross, you'll never understand anything else in life properly. He said, I determined not to know anything among you except, most of you know it, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, that's a powerful statement. As a foundational reality, that we will not perceive anything in life properly and have the right response to it. It doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter what circumstance it is, COVID virus circumstance or anything else, We will never have the right response to any circumstance of life if we don't understand the cross. Another scripture, Paul said, same thing. He said, God forbid that I would glory in anything, that I would major on anything in my life and glory in anything in my life except Jesus Christ and him what? Him crucified. Now, those are two major statements in Paul's ministry. And he said, if you don't get that right, and this is what I want to say about the calendar, 2021 calendar, I did something in prayer meeting several weeks ago now out of Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, it starts out with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what has he blessed us with? He's blessed us with how many blessings? All spiritual blessings. And where are they found? In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Our cup is running over. There's a warehouse. God's got your name on it up there in the heavenly places. He's got your name on it. A warehouse of blessings in Christ, customized for your life, you, your personality, your situation. I'm not just talking about somebody. I'm talking about you. Put your name on in the gospel. Amen. Put your name there. We're not just talking about somebody somewhere. We're talking about you. And then he lists the riches of the blessings in Ephesians 1. And on every page of the 2021 calendar, you'll find the blessings. Adoption, pardon, redemption, election, predestination. They're all listed there in Ephesians chapter 1. And what I would suggest that we all do for the 2021 year, since we got that calendar probably somewhere in our house that we look at occasionally, is that every time we look at that calendar, that it would be a prompting to us to examine afresh and anew, what is my understanding of the cross of Jesus Christ? Because all those blessings in Christ Jesus come through the redemption and the atonement of what took place through his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection. And I would just encourage and admonish all of us to rethink and refocus and retool and reassess. I need to understand the cross better. Now, the reason why we need to understand the cross better, I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to somebody somewhere. I'm talking to myself. Is because the cross, as I've already said, is not something we do just initially when we first get saved. The cross is something we have to do continually. We have to have an understanding of the cross continually. I want to read some scriptures here that speak to this, because if I do not apply the cross to my disposition, if I do not apply the cross to my character, my attitude, I'm talking about internal stuff. The cross, the power of the cross comes when it's operating inside of you. When it changes your attitude, changes your disposition, changes your outlook, changes your thoughts about yourself, changes your thoughts about others, so that it all lines up properly under the power of understanding the atonement and the redemption of the resurrected life of a crucified Savior. So that I can let this mind be in me, which is also in Christ Jesus. And I can frame whatever I'm looking at with his mind, with his disposition, with his character. And taking up our cross and following him means that we have got to daily take it up. In Luke, the Lord, there's many times in the Gospels he talks about take up your cross. But in Luke, he talks about we have to take up our cross daily. We're not talking about when we first get saved only. We have to take up our cross daily. Do we need to refocus on the understanding of the cross in the situations of our life and what it means to die? What it means to die. Now, the secret to this is not that we're trying to put ourselves to death. The secret to it is we've already died. We reckon what has already been accomplished. It's not something we've got to do. There's plenty of people that have tried to, whether it's a monastery or through asceticism type stuff, where they try to kill the flesh, kill the flesh, kill the flesh, kill the flesh. Listen, our Lord and Savior is already, we are already in Him. When He died, who died? We died. Galatians 2:20. I, not just Christ, I am crucified with Him. That's a fact. That's not something you got to do. That's not something you got to work hard at. You believe it. You believe it. God said it. That settles it. God's made me a new creature. I don't have to function with my natural mind. I don't have to function with my natural energy. I don't have to function with my natural flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You can look at things, even your past. Everything in your past, you can see it from a totally different perspective. Nobody's past has to be a hindrance to their future. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And by the way, don't worry about your personality either. I'm serious. I'm as serious as I can be. The reason why I'm so serious is because of the struggles I've had with my personality. That's the reason why I know this so well. When God made you and He made me, He broke the mold. Made us exactly the way He wants us to be. He wants the glory of His Son's life to shine through our individual personalities. Amen. Don't try to be like somebody else. Don't think I wish I could be like somebody else and conduct myself the way they do or they act or they speak. Listen, just be who you are in Christ. Amen. Be who you are. There's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. You don't have to be like somebody else. But you have to be like Jesus Christ. I am crucified. Present tense. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. But it's not me living now. Amen? It's not me living now. Now, our flesh can get in the way. Our natural man can get in the way. If we don't die daily, if we don't reckon ourselves to be dead in Christ already, our flesh will get in the way. And the old ugliness of the man, the old sinful nature is still inside of us. Amen? That old man will be the old man until the day we take our last breath. That old man still wants to manifest himself, still wants to come out of us, still wants to act with bitterness, with anger, resentment, with jealousy. The whole list is terrible. It's terrible. You find yourself in a spirit of despondency, a spirit of defeat, a spirit of dismay, a spirit of I don't want to even try anymore. Call it what you want to call it. But that old man is there knocking at the door. If we don't abide in Christ, there's no other answer to the sinful nature of man. And it's all through the finished work of His crucified, buried, resurrected life. It's a fact. The life I now live, I live, excuse me, by the faith. It's not even my faith. I'm required to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? So me having faith is, I've got to be in the Word. I got to be in the Word. If I'm in the Word and I keep my focus on Jesus Christ, now listen, Hebrews 12, Jesus Christ is the author, looking unto Jesus, what is He? He's the author and finisher of our faith. It's not faith we work up. It's not faith that we can have ourselves. You gaze upon who Jesus is. You gaze upon what He has done. You gaze upon His finished work. You gaze upon the grace of life that's given to us in Jesus Christ. God gives me the desire to do His will through his grace. He gives me the power to do his will, and that grace comes through Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no other source of grace. If you don't look to Jesus Christ, you'll find grace nowhere else to be found. It's through looking to him. In the life I now live, I live by the faith of who? I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith. It's his life. It's all about him. I can do all things. But if you stop there, that's humanism. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's exchanging our life for his life. And the only way that can happen is we have to die daily. Now, there's so many scriptures here. I don't know if I've got time to read them all. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. That's where Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, this is where I want to really take some time for us to see the practical, tangible application of the cross and reckoning ourselves dead with Christ to the situations of life. Now, I'm going to read this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Most of you know these verses. We are troubled on a few sides. Now, I purposely misquoted that. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 4? It doesn't say we are troubled on a few sides. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 4? It says we are troubled on every side. Don't expect trouble to go away. Trouble's not going away. Until Jesus Christ makes a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, there will be wars and rumors of wars, trouble, trouble, trouble. We will be troubled on every side. So if you're waiting for the blessedness of Christianity when there's no troubles out there beside you, you'll never enter into it. You got to enter into this when the trouble is all around you. Amen? By faith, we have the King of the kingdom of God. Where does the King of the kingdom of God live? He lives in us. The trouble is that we don't understand our identification with him. That's the biggest trouble. The trouble is not the trouble outside of us. If we understand our identification with Christ, our death with him, our burial with him, which when we baptize by immersion, that's why we baptize by immersion, because immersion is a picture of our death with him, our burial with him, and our resurrected life with him. It's a picture of what's taking place inside of us. So we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Now, you can't say that if you don't understand the cross. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Now, you were saying, well, Christians aren't supposed to be perplexed. Well, that's what Paul said is going to be our experience. But in the midst of the perplexity, we're not in what? Anybody remember? Despair. Well, how is that possible? It's possible when you understand the dynamics of the power of the cross and dying to self so that Christ's life can, the fragrance and the beauty of Christ's life can be made manifest. We are persecuted but not forsaken. We are cast down but not destroyed. Now, here's the cross. Always bearing about in our body. Notice, not just when we first come to know Christ, always, daily. Always bearing about in our body the dying, what does it say? The dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Romans 6 is a good place to go and memorize to understand what I'm trying to emphasize here. The first 13 verses or so of Romans 6, the first half of Romans 6 is basic to what I'm talking about right now. Because it says that every one of us as believers have to reckon ourselves to be dead. And he goes into great detail about it. And by the way, if you want the greatest book that I've ever read that explains Romans 6, it's Watchman Nee's book. What's the name of that book? Normal Christian Life. So if you're looking for a book that explains Romans 6 the best, get Watchman Nee's book, The Normal Christian Life, the one that I've read that explains it the best. And furthermore, memorize Romans 6, the first 12 or 13 verses. It'd be good to do that in 2021. Memorize the first 12 or 13 verses of Romans 6. It's the essence and at the heart of understanding the life of the cross life through you. Dying to self that Christ can live. Reckon yourself, it says in Romans 6, reckon yourself to be dead indeed. Reckon yourself. You're not trying to put something to death. God's already put it to death. We're free in Christ from sin. Amen. Amen. But we got to believe what is a fact, what is a reality. And listen, your whole attitude changes. Your whole disposition changes. Now, I'm not saying, listen, Peter confessed Christ to be the Son of God. And then out of the very next breath of his mouth, he said, I don't believe you're going to go to the cross. That'll never happen. The Lord had to look at him, and what did he have to say? Get thee behind me. It was all about the cross. It was all about not understanding the cross. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say in one moment you can be in the Spirit, functioning by the Holy Spirit, filling you and enabling you to look at things from the Spirit-filled perspective, and the next moment you can be right back in the flesh. It can happen just that quick. What used to amaze me when we had our wisdom searches together, you know, I'd just be waxing eloquently in those wisdom search times. And I'd give the dismissal. Well, we're talking about harmony, peace, blessings, you know. 5 minutes later, you know how it is with children. How long does it take? It doesn't take long. I'm not just talking about my children. I'm talking about me. How long does it take for me to have an attitude that is not taken to the cross of Jesus Christ? It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. Any minute of our life, we're either in the flesh or in the Spirit. And if we don't die constantly, Galatians 2:20, Romans 6, 2 Corinthians 4, always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus can be made manifest. Now, there's one more I want to mention here. This one, Romans 8. As it is written, for God's sake, we are killed. We're talking about believers. For God's sake, we are killed. What does it say? How often? All day long. For God's sake, we are killed all day long as believers. Does that sound like the happy Christian life? You have to understand the power of the cross, the application of the cross. For the joy that was set before the Lord, he endured the cross. What gain will come from the suffering? What gain will come from the anguish? What gain will come from the being pressed in on every side? Much gain will come if we die to self so that Christ can live. It says in Romans 8, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as, what are we accounted as? Sheep for the slaughter. Now, there's a lot of application there as to the persecution that will come against you. Remember, the preaching of the cross to the world is foolishness. So if you're embracing the cross, don't expect the world to love you. Don't expect the world to be, you're the happiest thing that has come their way. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Matter of fact, the powers of darkness will heat it up. Anybody that's living in the reality of the cross of Jesus Christ, the powers of darkness will heat it up. But when God heats the furnace up 7 times hotter, the Son of God's going to be in there with you. He's going to be in there with you. You're not going through it by yourself. Christ will be glorified. Christ will be magnified. if I don't have an attitude that's carnal and fleshly, if I die so that Christ can live. He lives within me, but does he live through me? Well, that all depends on how I respond when the circumstances of life press in on every side. Do I die to the carnal, fleshly man within and the response that the carnal, fleshly man would have? Or do I allow Christ-like person of Christ to respond? You know, when Jesus died, there were three crosses. One was his in the middle, and then the thieves on each side. One of those men understood the cross, and he got saved. He understood Jesus' cross. He said, the cross we're on, we deserve to be on it. But this man, he's done what? He's done nothing amiss. One of those men believed on Jesus' cross. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. There was another thief, though. And don't ever think, well, you know, remember the thief on the cross that got saved at the last minute. There were two thieves there. One of them didn't get saved at the last minute. And he went out to what I preached when I began this sermon. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what is it? Foolishness. That man went out into a Christless eternity. It all had to do with what those men believed about the cross of Jesus Christ. And so it is with us. So it is with every person in the world. Our eternal destiny will be determined by what do we believe about the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Jesus, keep us near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Lord, it's my prayer for our fellowship is that this 2021 year, every time we look at the calendar and we see those blessings in Christ that are listed each month, I pray it would be a reminder all year long. I need to go back again and think about the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. We'll never experience the blessedness of what you have in heavenly places in the daily trenches of our life if we don't die daily, minute by minute, moment by moment, and let Christ live. So, Lord, I pray you'd bless the fellowship, that the power of the cross would be greater than it's ever been before in our life, collectively and individually. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.